Well, good morning. Let us pray. Lord, come Holy Spirit. May my words be your words. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's great to be here. As I said in my brief intro, this is a church of significance to me because of your involvement as a church with WAM. But also, I just love the opportunity to come and share and open God's Word. And if you don't know, very briefly, WAM, West Houston Assistance Ministry, is on Rogerdale. It's very close to here. It serves around 500 people in crisis, the homeless, those caught up in poverty that are really struggling. We have a class food pantry, and I know some of you have volunteered at our food pantry. We have a Second Blessing store, and we hand out not only food, not only clothing, but we also assist in getting shelter. And it came out of a church, this church and other churches. It's an ecumenical, an inter-church activity where all the churches come together back in 1982. And it would be remiss of me, because he's on the board, not to embarrass John. He's here sitting in the second row, who's on the WAM board. Please let him know what a wonderful job you thought I did. No, in all seriousness, John's great, and he's actually a past president as well, so it's great to have John here. And also my two of my children, Jack and Patrick, are over there as well. I should have said that at the intro. So if you're wondering why there's two children sitting by themselves, safe place, supervisor may be concerned. They're my kids, and they're just fine. Well, I want to open up the Word. I want to look at the Gospel today. And I want to look particularly at a couple of passages in the Gospel, Matthew 15. But let me start with this question. Who amongst you is struggling? Who is struggling right now? When I preach every Sunday, and I have the blessing of preaching around our diocese, and in fact, next week I'm at Christ the Servant Lutheran, the week after St. Cyril's Catholic Church. You heard it, Episcopal priest preaching at the Catholic Church. That's going to be great. A first for me. So, wherever I am, my heart is, I'm not a historian or an academic. I like to give you, just as I do at WAM every day in my work, I like to give you a gift and help you. And it's not me, it's the Word of God. So when I ask the question, are you struggling? I'm asking that question, how are you? If you are struggling, then listen to what I have to offer this morning. A few tidbits, a few pointers on how we can address our struggle and grow our faith. The first in this wonderful gospel passage is verse 25, where this Canaanite woman, and this isn't, let me explain to you, a Canaanite in this setting, they were not liked. And we're not just talking about a neighbor that's annoying you because they're playing loud music at 12, 1 a.m. We're talking about enemies. People have died in the fights between the Canaanites and the Israelites. This woman was in enemy territory. She was not liked by society and her people. They had many, many years of conflict. This woman goes to Jesus, an Israelite, and she kneels before the Lord. So the first point I want to offer in how we can help with our struggle is contained in the word kneel. Now, it's not kneeling that you do when you need to get down to get a book from a low spot, and then you realize you're not sure you can get up again. Yes, I'm getting to that age. It's not the kneeling, just a physical action. The Greek tells something quite extraordinary. The Greek is proskuneo. Proskuneo, which of course is where we get prostrate, not prostate. That's something completely different. And I won't go there. But again, the men amongst us, we can talk after if you want to talk about the health of that. So It's what it means literally is reverence and homage, to prostrate yourself, to adore God. But not adore as in, wow, look at that awesome car. It's adore as in, if I didn't have God in my life, I'd be in trouble. It's an adoration that comes from a realization that you need God out of your struggle. It's humility and humanity. It's understanding intimately that what you have is not enough. When this woman kneels, the Greek is saying she's realizing, I give up. I can't do this. I'm not as strong as I thought I was. So number one, adore. Adore is to recognize that you need God in your life and to walk towards Him. So the first question I have is, if you are struggling and you want your faith to grow, do you see God in your life? Or are you distracted by the junk of TV? Or are you just so busy with your important career? Or actually, you know what? I haven't read the Bible or prayed seriously for a while, and I've come to church because my partner will get upset at me if I don't. Or my parent. Wherever you are, the first thing in dealing with our struggle and our pain and growing our faith is recognizing, I need God. I need you, Lord. And that is an act of adoring. Worship. Worship is telling the story of God, and it's not meant to be just a thought bubble. It's meant to be a heart murmur. It's meant to be a heart murmur. The second point. So what does she say? She prostrates herself. She comes before God recognizing, I'm going to teach you a bit of Australian. You ready for this? There's an Australian word for I'm in trouble, and it's munted. You can use that freely in Texas and no one will understand you except other Australians, and they'll turn their heads. I am munted. I am in trouble, Lord. But what does she say? She says these powerful words, Lord, help me. I'm going to share personally with you this morning. At some risk, but the Greek word for help, it's not like asking help for a math problem or directions. It's not intellectual. It comes from two words, bo and theo. Theo, I think you know, is God. Bo means cry. So when the lady says, Lord, help me, she is crying to God. Crying out to God. In September of last year, I live in Tomball, but September 24th of last year, a dear friend of mine has an apartment on Briar Park, just very close to where we are. We're talking a two-minute drive, if that. And he invited my wife and I and our family down for a barbecue, and it's a nice apartment, and it has a swimming pool. And we went down to the apartment swimming pool, and I was barbecuing. I was about here to halfway down the church. The swimming pool was halfway down the church. My wife was facing the pool with her friend watching the children. Our three-year-old, Judah, slipped away. And we didn't know, but he had taken his floating device off, and he fell in the pool. And he drowned. And the first I knew of it was a scream, and I turned, and there was my friend. My wife couldn't move. She was obviously screaming. So a friend jumped in the water and fished Judah out. And I ran over, and I began commence CPR. And 2 days later, he died. It was an accident. He was in the water for less than a minute, and this isn't the purpose of the sermon, but if you have children, be very, very careful. water is dangerous. But let me say that when this passage talks about crying out to God, I know what that means. As a priest, as a man of faith, sitting over my child doing CPR and praying, I understand what it means to cry out to God. And I have two choices. I can scream and yell angrily, walk away from God, or I can cry out to Him in humility and say, I cannot do this. I do, listen to this, I don't understand this. I don't know why this has happened. Accidents happen, I get that. And I know Judah is in heaven. And God called me and my wife deeper into relationship with Him. Deeper and deeper. My faith has grown. My conviction has grown and continues to grow. My faith is more alive today than it was on September the 23rd. Much more. So when we talk about our struggle, maybe you haven't lost a child, but maybe you've lost a job, or you've lost health, or maybe you're struggling with a relationship that is toxic, or pain in whatever form it is, it can cause you to either yell and scream and walk away, or worse, ignore God, or to walk toward Him and adore Him. To recognize and say, God, I so desperately need You. And to declare in that moment, come and be with me. Cry out in pain, Lord, help me. The third and final point. Verse 26 reads, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Wow. So again, here is this Canaanite enemy. This woman who's reviled. And Jesus is making a point here. His culture, born and raised in a culture that did not like people who were different. Now, he had a choice. Did he follow the cultural line and reject her? Or did he embrace and love her regardless of her race, regardless of her gender, regardless of her station in society? And Jesus does the right thing. Jesus doesn't care whether you're at the top of society or at the bottom. Jesus doesn't care what your political affiliations are or what race you are. So why should we? On Friday, I won't say where for anonymity, but I exposed myself to a homeless agency downtown. And I went in as a client. I spent an hour in the baking sun surrounded by people stinking of urine who were desperately homeless, and some of them were, like, one guy was very injured. I won't go into the details because there's children. But it was a very difficult experience, and then I entered the service and I participated with the clients, and I was struck by the profound love that these people had for me. Let me tell you, and that's why I have to keep it anonymous, and please don't share this, but the professional staff were rude versus the homeless folks around me. True story. And when I go back to WAM, this is an aside, but John, when I go back to WAM, we're going to make sure we love our clients more than perhaps we are. But I share this because I received more love from a guy who's been homeless for 10 years than I did from a social worker who was being paid. Jesus doesn't care, and neither should we. And the last thing I want to share is this woman, this Canaanite woman, never gave up. As hard as it got, you imagine this? She's not only a woman, and back then, whoa, the role of women. She's an enemy. And she has the guts to approach Jesus and never give up. Never give up. So let me leave you with a hook. I like to leave you with something you can take away. And it is add. How to add to your faith. Add. Adore. Come in humility and adore God. D. Declare. Declare how much you need God. Cry out to God, Lord, help me. And don't give up. A. D. D. Adore, declare, and don't give up. That is how today we may add to our faith. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.